Graham, come on up. Welcome. Graham and his wife Wanda have been long-time friends of us here at Rosedale, currently residing in Alexandra, so thank you for taking the trip down to come and share with us. It's wonderful. Thank you, Graham. You want me to keep talking? You're right.
I'm good.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's delightful to be here. Wanda and I haven't been for a while. And that's just because of the country has been and the way the towns have been and travel has been and limited and things like that. But what a thrill this morning to see not just the involvement that this church has with children against all ages, but to see the people that are volunteering and helping with that. You know, right across the country, a lot of people have stopped doing stuff and haven't gone back. They've just I'm retiring, or I'm just stepping back and just watching how it all goes. But lovely to see leaders, young people growing into leadership, and older folk developing, training, investing in them, as well as much of the young people. I would not be here had it not been for older people coming into where I grew up in a quiet neighbourhood in Auckland called Otara. South Auckland, if I hadn't had rally leaders coming and picking me up, I wouldn't have turned into the fine man that I am today. But it was just the love, the patience, the energy, the investment they gave me, and the truth that they taught me. Gosh, I reflect on that and go, I owe them my life. In fact, I owe them my eternal life. So it's a pleasure to be here this morning, and I'm going to need a little bit of help from music stand. That was what I spotted before. I'm going to need some people to help. I'm going to need some people to answer some questions. So you will be involved in what we are doing this morning. So hands up if you are intelligent. Gosh, only about six hands. That is a concern for this church. Okay, maybe I can put it a different way. Hands up if you are good looking. The same six put their hand up. All right, I'm going to need, it's just you're the first young man that caught my eye. And just because I need a young man, and you look intelligent, you look all right. Are you married? Just check in, you know, so that age would prove you're not intelligent at that age. So would you be willing to help me this morning? Oh, shucks, come on up. You're, there's rewards. I didn't tell everybody, but there are rewards. I'm Graham.
I'm Ezra. Ezra.
Ezra. We have not met before. How come? Where have you been? Do you live here?
No, I do not.
Ah, where do you live?
I'm in Bluff.
In Bluff. Why? You don't have to. Ezra, just sit here there for me. Because I'm going to read a Bible story and you are going to be the main character. Okay, so we're going to dress you up in just a second. So just to warm you people to the Bible story, have you ever been to a restaurant? You brought the menu and you go through it and you pick up your glasses so you can see the menu. And then you order. And then you wait and you talk with the people that you're there with. And then you see the waiter come in with a big dish and he takes it to the next table. And you go, what is that? I want that. Can I change more? No, your order's already being cooked. You see something, you want it, and if only you knew that's what you could have ordered. Or you're riding to school and somebody overtakes you on a brand new BMX or mountain bike, and I wonder whether you've said, I want that. Or the ladies, you go to a hairdresser and you look around all the pictures on the wall and you go, I want that one. And the hairdresser says, that would be a miracle. Have you ever been driving a car and some V8 muscle car pulls up beside you and you may not have said it to anybody else in the car, but you're, oh, I want that. There's so many things every day that you say and I say, I want, I want, I want. Two little children playing
It only takes one kid to pick up a toy, and what does the other kid say? I want that one! This want and want and want. I'm worried that we are raising a generation of young people that just want. And I'm not sure that what they want is going to be good for them. So, to our Bible story. I'm going to read it in a few seconds, but Ezra, you're going to need this just because it gets cold in here, and I'm going to put it around your shoulders, and just like if I was your mother, I'd make sure that you're covered up, and I don't want you to get cold because I'm going to send you to a street to beg. What you don't know, Ezra, is that you are also blind, so I'm going to blindfold you because, you know, if you're going to be blind, that what does blind mean, Ezra, do you know? You can't see. That's good. Okay, here we go. So the other thing you've got to do is lose the name Ezra, okay? Okay, you're actually going to be, I'll read the Bible story, but it's your name is now going to be Bartimaeus. So as I read the story, you are going to say things, Ezra, and the people here are also going to say some things. So as I read the story, Ezra, I'll show you what you need to say. So here they go. Jesus and his disciples came to the city of Jericho with a large crowd. And as they were leaving the city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, who was the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Imagine that. Imagine if you were Ezra's parents. You have taken him to a street corner to beg. Gosh, life's got to be pretty tough when you leave your kid on a street corner to beg. And I can only imagine Bartimaeus must have had a tin can or something, and every time he heard somebody coming, he probably yelled, "Money for the blind! Money for the blind!" And maybe a few people put a few coins in, and if he was smart, he would have taken the coins out, so when he's shaking the can, people think there's nothing in it. So he is sitting there begging. There's a big crowd. Bartimaeus was sitting begging on the roadside, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Oh, sorry, hang on. We've got a bit of a glitch here. He began to shout.
Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
He began to shout.
Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
The crowd told him to Bartimaeus shouted even louder.
Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
He shouted even louder.
Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they went to the blind man, and the crowd said,
"Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you."
So Bartimaeus stood up, took off his cloak, and came to Jesus. Stay there. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus replied,
"Teacher, I want..."
Put that back on. You're supposed to be blind. Okay, now's the survey. Bartimaeus has just been brought before Jesus. You don't know it, but this would be the last miracle that Jesus would ever do in public. nor did Bartimaeus. But Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "I want..." Hands up if you think he said, "Fish and chips." All right. Hands up if you think the Bartimaeus said, "I want a house with a view." That would be useless because he can't see. Hands up if you think Bartimaeus said, "I want a new suit." Well, they could do with it. Hands up if you said, Bartimaeus said, "I want..." I'll bet you he's heard a few donkeys go past in his time. Hands up if you think Bartimaeus said, "I want a PlayStation." Hands up if you think Bartimaeus said, "I want a trip to New Zealand." He's a Jewish boy. He doesn't even know New Zealand exists. No, Bartimaeus said, "I want
to see."
Of course. The story continues. Jesus said, "Go. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus down the road. Now, if you go home via that lady there, she'll give you a reward, Ezra. Give him a clap, please. You know, to us it's so obvious. If you're blind, you want to see. If you're deaf, you want to. If you're crippled, you want to. We know the obvious. And I put those stupid things there because, like, who would want, when the greatest need in all the world is to see, who would have ever thought that I want, actually, I haven't eaten for a while, I'd like some fish and chips. That would be crazy to ask for that. Or to ask for a PlayStation if he can't even see the buttons or what he's looking at. Or a new suit, so what if he's begging in a new suit? Probably people aren't going to give him money anyway. His greatest need was his sight. And clearly he believed that Jesus, the Son of David, could give it to him. It's a strange term, that Son of David, and we don't totally understand it, but if you were Māori, you would. Because if you were appealing to your people, you would name your tribe. And people would understand you're one of us. So when Bartimaeus said, "You are Son of David," he was saying, "I belong to the same Jewish nation as you. And I believe with all my heart that you're the man that could give me sight." How Bartimaeus had learned that, I don't know. The fascinating thing to me is there's only two people in the Bible that are referred to when Jesus healed them. Lazarus, he brought him back to life, and Bartimaeus. Jesus healed lepers, more other blind people, crippled, deaf people, people that were sadly sick. Their names aren't there. But Bartimaeus is. And I think that's because Bartimaeus truly followed Jesus on the road. And by the way, when Bartimaeus followed Jesus, guess what he left? His cloak. Because he knew that man that he was going to follow would give him everything in the world that he'd ever needed, because he had firstly given him sight. And if I can trust him with my sight because I was blind, I can trust him with everything else. That, you may not understand, even relates to Christmas. How many of you have already got a want list? Stuff that you use for a day, and then that's it. It gets lost in the corner or under the tree, or you're not even sure whose present that was. What this world really needs is to truly be able to see hope, to see love, to see truth, to see kindness. You give those things, I will guarantee people will follow you. That's really interesting, isn't it? You show kindness, you show love, you show mercy, you show goodness, you speak well, you look after the people that are around you. They will want to be with you. They want to hang out. There's a story told of a young boy who went to school, teenager, and he started to mix with the wrong crowd. And some of that wrong crowd used bad words. They used swear words, cuss words. They cursed and they just said nasty words about people. And this boy who was hanging out with them, he began to think, you know what, if I'm going to be tough and if I'm going to be big, I've got to use words like that too. So he started using those words and it increased, and so much so that his dad figured it out that his son now had a bad mouth. And his dad sat him down one day and said, I do not like what I'm hearing from you. They are filthy words coming from, I know, a good boy. And I want you to stop swearing. But the kid couldn't, because he now got into this habit of saying bad words, filthy words, because he was hanging out with the wrong crowd. So the dad said, look, every time I hear you swear, I'm going to get you to bang one of these nails into the fence, into our family fence. You know, after a month, there were over 100 nails in that fence. But slowly the boy, he got sick of hitting his thumb as he put those nails in the fence, that eventually he thought, why am I swearing? Why do I want to be one of those people? So he said, I'm not going to swear. But it took him a while to stop it, because he had started it and it was really hard to stop. But eventually another 3 months went by, and as his dad listened and as the less and less nails got put in that fence, that boy eventually cleaned his life up and his mouth up, and he stopped swearing. And his dad was real proud of him. And one day dad took him out to the fence and said, look at all those nails. I'm glad you stopped, because, gosh, I might have had to have built a bigger fence. And he said, now that you've cleaned your life up and your mouth up, I want you to take every nail out and tell me what you see. It took the kid hours to pull every nail out, because some he had driven in a long way and he had to wrench them out and pull them out. Eventually he got them all out, and his dad said, what do you see now? And the son said, I see a whole lot of holes in our fence. And dad said, that's exactly right. When you use bad language, you will scar other people. I'm so glad you stopped, because you were losing friends with your bad words. You may have wanted to be a big boy, but it was the wrong thing to want. What you needed was to choose to be well, choose to do good, choose to use nice words, kind words, grace words, where you encouraged others, where you lifted them up. Can you see the damage you've done to the fence? And the son said, yes. He said, well, do not damage others by driving nails into them. When Bartimaeus said, I want to see, his heart must have been banging and leaping, because remember, he's surrounded by a crowd of people that said, be quiet. How many people would have walked away? Whoa, man, they don't like me. But he shouted a second time, because he really believed that his last opportunity was fading away as he's leaving this Jericho city. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops and says, call him. Quick, come, cheer up. He wants to see you. And I can imagine Bartimaeus walking up in front of Jesus, and he can literally feel the crowd. I used to have a blind friend. We used to go to, well, we didn't go to the same school, but we used to hang out and we used to go to the movies together. You might think, Graham, are you tricking? Why would a blind guy go to the movies? Why not? He can hear it. We used to go and watch Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. And I can remember the day that we're in the theater and Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse are on the same log in a river, and the log was heading towards a waterfall. But the only noise you could hear was quack, 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 and the water. And I figured out that my friend, he said to me, what's happening? And I said, well, Donald and Mickey, they're on a log. They're heading towards the waterfall. It's going to go over the waterfall. And about when I said it's going to go over the water, a whole lot of people turned around and went, shh. I thought, it's all right for you. He can't see. Man, he had a real funny bone. I used to look after the popcorn. And when he wanted popcorn, he'd nudge me and I'd sort of swing the bag over and he'd put his hand in and grab some popcorn. And one day he nudged me, same movie, and I swung it over and he put some popcorn in it. Then he swung it back to me and I put my hand in it to get some popcorn. Oh, what is that? It was a big round sticky thing. Do you know what he had done? He'd taken his glass eye out and stuck it in the popcorn. I'm eating the popcorn. I nearly swallowed a glass eye. I never saw it coming. But he was so funny. You know, we'd go to a crossing on the street and he'd stop and he could hear a truck coming. He could hear somebody on a push bike. His ears were so good. Can you imagine Bartimaeus standing in front of Jesus? The crowd's gone absolutely hush. And he's now slightly embarrassed that everybody's staring at him. And Jesus just simply said, "What do you want?" Wow. Isn't that a strange question? There's a blind man standing in front of you. You know exactly what he wants. But Jesus needed to hear it. Just in case he said fish and chips. Just in case he said a house with a view. Just in case he said a turbocharged donkey. Just in case he said a new suit. How easily it could have been for Bartimaeus to ask for the very thing that he didn't need. But his greatest need was his sight. That's the Christmas story. The greatest need that the world had over 2,000 years ago when a baby was placed in a manger was hope. It was love. It was peace. It was forgiveness. You'd think that the crazy world would have learnt. Instead, here we are. The same things happen at Christmas 2022. We still need hope. We still need love. We still need peace. We still need joy. We still need forgiveness. But here's the difference. Jesus Christ came to show a world that God loved the world so much that he would send his one and only Son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. The people that believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that from a manger he moved to a cross, the people that believe that and have come before him and said, "Lord, I was blind, but now I need to see. I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness." Those people have had the eyes of their heart opened. Those are the people that now give love. Those are the people that now give hope. Those are the people that now give peace. Those are the people that now give mercy. So every Christmas we get an opportunity to shine. It's just remarkable that God is now using us to do the very thing that he wants the world to see and give. All right, now I need these two boys that are yawning, so I've been boring. So come on up here. Come on up here. So can you take two of those each, please? One, two, and give your brother the other two. Okay, now hold them up so everybody can see them. Okay, so here we have four pieces of cloth. So, okay, without me looking, hold up the yellow one, please, higher. Has he done that? Okay. Hold up the green one higher. Has he done that? Hold up the blue one higher. Has he done that? Hold up the red one higher. Have they done that? Okay, so these boys, okay, oh, I understand, you need deodorant. Okay, so they know their colours, right? Okay, so let me think, which colour should I go first? Give me the yellow one. Okay, I'm going to put it in my hand here. Just make it disappear, crush it up in my hand. Okay, give me the red one. Okay, thank you. There it goes, into my hand, put it, crush it in there, squash it up. Give me the green one. Okay, thank you. You can go and see that lady. She'll give you a chocolate. And see that lady? She's the good-looking one over there. Yeah. And the blue one, thank you. You can go and get a chocolate too. So I'm putting that in my hand here also. Crush them in. Okay, now here's the thing. When you believe Jesus can put a life together, no matter whether they've got the blues, no matter whether the sun is shining and it's yellow and golden, no matter whether the grass is green and it's growing, or the sky is blue, and everything is sort of disjointed, and you want this and you want that and you want that, what you really need is to be put together. And here's the remarkable thing, that when you trust Jesus with all your heart and you believe that he can put you together, this is what happens. He puts you together. That's the miracle of Christmas. That's the miracle of hope. That's the miracle of being able to see. Only Jesus put Bartimaeus together again. Only Jesus can put you together again. And if you've never understood the full story of Christmas, then please talk to somebody. I know Jesus came for a reason. I know he lived. I know he died. Tell me again why. And somebody here should be able to tell you, because he loves you more than anyone else in the world. He wants to live in your heart. He wants to give you the greatest gift ever, what you truly need, not what you want. And that is to believe that Jesus is God's Son, and you can get life in all its fullness and all its joy. Father, this day, thank you for the pleasure of being together. Thank you for this family. I thank you for their laughter, their singing, their smiles, their joy. And yet I know in so many hearts there's a hurt. There's some brokenness. There's some sadness. There's some blindness. I pray that everyone here this day will one day say to Jesus, I want to see. And you will open their eyes to see the best things in the world can only come from you. May they see that the greatest gift they could ever receive from heaven is the Lord Jesus himself, who can live in their heart. I pray that they will believe and trust and follow you, especially this Christmas. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you.